Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh. Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Stickboy 29 over there. And that's Josh Brown.
Oh, hey guys.
Stickboy 29.
Hey guys.
Oh, hey Josh. How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good, guys. Just working on my just fan graphs and just blogging with the fan graphs, you know. And just ready for baseball, guys, and just mad at all the owners. Just did, you know, they didn't get here because of their transparency and their honesty, you know. So fuck the owners.
When Josh first started that, I didn't realize he was going to do Dylan Short. I thought he was going with Atlanta Braves boy. I really thought that was the go for there. And I know he tried to make an appearance back on Twitter. I'm not sure if it's real.
Did you guys know that the last year Bryce Harper had a better season than Freddie Freeman because he had a higher DRS?
That post nasal drip, man, it's gonna kill us all. Oh man! on the Last Dance, fellas, one of the things that we didn't talk about that I think is kind of important: the flu game was not a flu game. What the crap? He was food poisoned by a bunch of Utah fans.
Yeah, I never believed in the urban legend of the hangover because it's Salt Lake City. Good luck getting a hangover in Salt Lake City, but. I don't know, man. Five guys showing up to deliver a pizza and being like, oh, yeah. Like, come on. If you intentionally put bad stuff on the pizza, like say they used old pepperonis just to screw, like, okay. So you're calling from the Hilton. There's no way that they know it's Michael Jordan. Right? Yep. You can call from room 317 of the Hilton. And they don't necessarily know that's Michael Jordan's room. So how would they know to put bad pepperonis on the pizza?
But
if they did, why would they bring five guys to be like, oh, why would they make it look so suspicious?
Maybe they do know. And what I mean by that is, like, maybe they know the Bulls are staying at the Hilton. And
the Bulls.
If they're hardcore fans, maybe it's like, you know, they know.
This is pre-internet days, Ken. This is 1998.
That's true.
This is not like, you know, you heard a thing on Twitter that they're staying
at
the Hilton.
You still would know that. If you were a big fan, you could still know that the Cubs were that the Bulls were at the Hilton.
In 1998? I mean, just where does this information get shared?
You could have seen the bus parked there, and if it was game, it wasn't game one, it was game three or four or five, whatever it was. Game five, I think.
To me, it seems a lot like Michael Jordan trying to have an edge. I didn't get the flu. The Jazz fans poisoned me, so I'm going to stick it to them because he's trying to find an edge to be the best, yada, yada, yada.
There was no doubt he was sick.
Like, oh, he was definitely sick. I'm just saying that the whole food poisoning thing, I think that kind of be something that Michael invented in his head
to
give himself a competitive
edge. But Michael wasn't saying that. Like it was the other guy that said like five guys delivered it.
Right. And you know what? He got into Michael Jordan's documentary. Michael Jordan has final say on everything that goes on in his documentary. So,
JT being the skeptic here.
I don't believe
it. People from Utah marry like three or four women. You have to be insane to do that, right? Like,
well, sure. But, I mean, you're really going to be like, Michael Jordan's ordering a pizza, so you're going to put like old pepperonis on it? You're not going to be like, oh my God, I want to go meet Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I will, to your point, JT, the unbelievable part, I disagree with you on the part of it that's unbelievable. I think fans could figure all that stuff out. I think fans could do it. I don't think fans would stay shut up about it for 20 years.
Right.
I think if they had done it, they would have owned it, unless they were afraid they'd end up in jail over it.
You could be the biggest jazz fan in the world, and if you got a pizza delivery to Michael Jordan's hotel room, you wouldn't think, I'm going to poison his pizza and put bad ingredients on it. You'd think, oh, cool, I get to meet Michael Jordan. That's all you'd think about. You'd be like, I gotta go. I'm going to go give Michael Jordan a high five. That would be so cool. He's Michael Jordan.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it wasn't the right pizza. Like, maybe they were plant. And the guy that actually brought the pizza, they were like,
also, who's ever gotten food poisoning from pizza? Ever. It's not seafood.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's pizza.
Was there chicken on it or something?
I've had food from pizza. Yeah, probably, yeah.
You ordered the wrong ingredients. Because, like, pepperoni is like, dude, pepperoni could survive a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, you can still eat it.
You're probably right up on that. But let's be honest, there's some foods just don't. I mean, maybe just eating a whole pizza had Michael sick. I mean,
well, I don't know. His metabolism has to be, like, through the roof, I'd imagine.
That's probably true, too. Best moment of the entire documentary for you, JT.
The entire documentary? Oh, man. Probably him winning the fourth championship on Father's Day after his dad.
Gotcha.
You know, his okay. first one after sure, his dad sure. passed. It's on Father's Day. I'd seen the pictures of him on the floor in the locker room, but seeing the video of it was totally different. And just seeing that, like, he's just done. He was cooked at that point. And just seeing that was humanizing, you know? That was cool. That was really
gotcha.
Cool.
What about you, Josh?
Probably, you know, when it talked about just the shit talking and the hate they had for the Pistons and that, just that whole thing, mm-hmm. Horace Grant and just the, you know, just the shit talking, which maybe that's not one specific part. That was my favorite aspect of the whole thing was, you know, there used to be a time when everybody wasn't a pussy, you know, and it was the 90s, at least for us. I mean, obviously before the 90s, but like,
and 80s.
Yeah, and 70s yeah. and 60s and 50s. But yeah.
Dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
Portland. Yeah. That was just, it was refreshing to watch that. It's funny because, like, all three of us had very similar takes to the whole thing and reactions. But what's funny is being on Twitter and seeing, because I think me and you guys forget that we're in our mid 30s and, like, most of Twitter, at least in Braves Twitter, they're like 22 to 28. It seems.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. Or younger.
Yeah. And so they would see these things and tweet about it as if it was like this huge revolutionary thing, you know? And it's to us, it's like, no, that's when men were men. Like, men used to be men not too long ago, you know? They used to be.
Yeah. Two
testosterone driven savages.
Two observations. Yeah. One observation based on what you said. You know, during this entire documentary, saw almost zero LeBron is better than Jordan. Like,
you did.
Like, I think kids saw it, and I think they were like, oh, like, maybe they were right. Maybe LeBron's not as good as Michael.
Yeah. Here's the craziest stat I came away with during this whole Last Dance. During the Bulls' run, 6 championships,
yep.
2 Game 7s. That's insane. That is crazy.
It's dominance.
Right. Oh my goodness.
When you think
gracious.
About it, think about it this way too, like a 22 year old, okay, was born in what, 98, right?
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Is that weird? That's crazy. So a 22 year old on Braves Twitter,
they never saw
a 22 year old.
Michael had already won them all.
Yeah, a 22-year-old tweeting about the greatness of LeBron over the last couple of years. 22 years old. He was 4 in 2002. When did MJ retire for good? Like 2002, 2004?
Good. 3. 2004? I think 3.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't remember Michael Jordan at all.
Still.
It would be like if some old farts in our lives were like talking about Pistol Pete. We wouldn't know. We'd be like, why, he sucks. That guy sucks.
Yeah, that's like somebody, it would be the equivalent of somebody saying, man, that Brad Paisley, he's so much better than Chet Atkins ever was.
Yeah.
Chet Atkins was so much, you know what yeah. I'm saying? Like Brad Paisley could play circles around Chet right. Atkins, you know? Like, right. And first of all, Brad Paisley would tell you you're an idiot. And secondly, like, it's obvious you never heard Chet Atkins, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, to me, yeah. It's the distinction is no one is going to sit through a 10-part documentary on LeBron James because we're not that interested in what he has to say. He's just not that interesting of a guy. Whereas
I think some people would, but like I don't think I would. You know, like it's just
anything I'm Michael says, you're just like, you know, you're sitting there yeah. like, well, you know, like I love when they show him. The iPad, like here, take a look at what yeah. you know Gary Payton had to say about you, and he's like,
and he just belly like, well, laughs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Just...
The best part for me of the entire thing from beginning to end, best part was even though I've said that it was obviously sanitized a little bit, the unfilteredness of the entire thing. I thought they showed you more reality than you normally ever see about sports, whether it be cussing, whether it be the storylines behind it, whether you see the shit talk back and forth between guys, whether you see like Magic and him talking in a locker room, laughing and poking fun at each other, or him and Bird meeting each other yeah. before, you know, in,
tell
in
to go
the
work
finals.
On his work on his golf swing.
Yeah, 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 like awesome. All of that stuff. To me, I look at that and I'm like, if ESPN and if sports analysts could get that's part of what made this resonate and figure out how do we make sports do that today? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we unfilter our sports? And I'm not saying that you have to have a ton of cussing. That's not what I mean. I mean, this more raw, not just this sanitized product that we're giving you at the end this is
right.
just a baseball game. You know, this show us the real storyline of the game between the players.
Right.
And let us get a glimpse of that, and I think we'll appreciate the story more than the game.
You know, SEC on CBS, which I watch religiously every fall, 3:30 CBS, it's the best game of the week. They do a great job in the 3 minutes they do pregame. By the time the game's kicked off, you believe that these 85 players hate these 85 players, right? Like they built up whatever the game is, be it Georgia, Florida, it could be Arkansas, Ole Miss, doesn't matter. They have built it up to where you believe by the kickoff, these guys hate each other. And they do a yeah. great job of producing a television product of putting a narrative out there. I think if they did a better job of that, of putting like the personalities out there and explaining why, let's say it's the NBA playoffs and you've got two random teams playing, but let's say that's the third year in a row they've met in the playoffs. Explore that dynamic. Explore almost like it's pro wrestling. Like
yeah,
play team A and team B and they hate each other. And that gets you so much more into it. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever watched UFC. But UFC fights are so much better when the guys leading up to the fight are talking trash to each other. Then yes. you buy the fight and you're just like, oh. Whereas when they're like being martial
artists.
You kind
of feel like there's somebody to pull for.
Right.
When you feel that. Like you pick a side. You can't help it.
Yeah. And then sometimes you get the guys that are martial artists and they're like, well, you know, he's a very disciplined fighter and I respect his game, blah, 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 blah. And that's like, oh, that's boring. I love it when there's like, I hate this guy and I'm going to knock him out in the first round. And then you're totally into it. I think if sports as a whole did a better job of embracing that and finding the narrative between why this team hates this team and vice versa.
Telling the story.
Yeah, that makes such a difference as to why you should care. Because obviously the fans of those teams are already engaged, but it pulls the fans that are just neutral observers into it. You know, it pulls it makes you take a side.
Examples of this, like when the video of Kirby Smart got out that probably wasn't supposed to get out, where Kirby's giving the pep talk and he goes into the cut your ass loose thing, you know, and he's talking about that, or Kirby cussing him up one side and down the other. Like, that's rough for some people, and I don't want my kids seeing that all the time. You know, I do like keeping the game itself clean enough that my kids could watch and enjoy. But the narrative around it, I wish they showed us more of the reality of what's actually taking place on the field. If guys are jawing back and forth, get that on audio somehow. I don't know how. But NFL Films is probably one of the few places, I think, through history that's done a good job of this. And they won several Emmys because of it. Because they go back through a season after the fact and produce, like, the Dolphins from 79, you know, and like you had like live video cuts and you hear them cussing at each other a little bit on the field and they're bleeping it out on NFL Films and everything. But you get more of that on field narrative and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And right now I feel like when I watch a sporting game event on television right now, the entire narrative is about the play of the game, not about the players in it. And I think, especially baseball, has screwed themselves because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's like, for instance, on CBS, SEC game, they'll dive back the past 10 years, and they'll show clips, you know, of this team beating this team, and this team beating this team, and, you know, the build up, the drama. And it's like, why can't every sport do this? It should be easy. Mm-hmm. If I'm watching the Braves-Mets come on at 7:15 at night or 7:30 or whatever.
Yep.
It should be easy for them to be able to produce a 2-minute, you know, vignette showing me why the Braves Mets is important and why the Braves and Mets should hate each other.
But that means you have to embrace the fights. It means you have to embrace the ugliness. It means you have to embrace men being men. And baseball wants to sanitize all that out of it and just be like this sweet little sport that everybody can watch.
If you don't, if you don't do that, then the only people that are going to care are Mets fans and Braves fans. But what are you going to do with the other people that are sitting on the fence that say, yo, give me a reason to care, you know?
I freaking loved the Amir Garrett calling the – this past year in baseball, he calls his coach out. He's like, I'm about to get thrown out of this game. And the coach is like, he said, you better call somebody in. As soon as he does, Amir Garrett throws his glove down and takes off running towards the other team wide open. Like, that's awesome. Like, I love that stuff. And like, MLB's like, no.
And if they don't use that in a video package for next year's, was it the Pirates?
Yeah, they're stupid.
He fought?
Reds, yes.
It was the Reds and Pirates?
He was the Reds. Yeah. Right.
So if they don't use that in a video package for a Reds-Pirates game next, they're idiots. Because they're helping you build a narrative. And if you don't craft a narrative, why should people care?
That beautiful picture of I don't think it was the same game, but the Pirates and the Reds are at it again. And they're, for some reason, they're both in colored uniforms. So the Pirates were wearing the bright yellows. The Reds are wearing bright red. There's no white in it. And there's the jersey of Puig trying to punch somebody in the face. And the two teams are like right here in the middle of the field. Do y'all remember that from last year? It's an amazing picture. It was probably, in my opinion, the coolest baseball picture of the last couple of years. I don't know if y'all remember it. Let's see. Pirates, Reds. Let's see if I can find a picture of it. Because it was super iconic. Yes, this is it. Found it. First try. Let me send it to you now. Un momento, por favor. There we go. There you go, fellas. That picture right there is just incredible. Like, to me, that's baseball. And if they would show more of that, that is just phenomenal artistry. If you haven't seen it, we'll post it on
that was
Twitter
a beautiful
this
moment.
Week.
And Puig wasn't even a Red at that point.
No, he wasn't. That was the hilarious part. He'd already been traded. I know. It's awesome. And the color, like, I don't think I've ever seen two teams play and they're both wearing colored jerseys like that. I don't know if it was a throwback special they were doing or what.
It's fun. Because
usually one team's wearing white. But that right there looks awesome. I mean, it looks like a painting if you looked at that. It's incredible, and sports should embrace the storyboard and not try to sanitize everything. Anyway, I thought that was my biggest takeaway from the Last Dance. I'm sad to see it go. It was a good series. 30 for 30, talking about going to have a Lance Armstrong special and a...
What?
I was really into the Like Water one.
I like 30 for 30s. That'll be good, though, actually, I think.
Yeah, I thought it would be, too. I kind of want to hear Lance Armstrong in his own words. I like Lance Armstrong. I hate that his reputation is so tainted.
I do, too.
And maybe it deserves to be. Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested.
I think he's kind of a piece of shit, but I kind of also like
the Bruce Lee.
Does that make sense?
30 for 30 Bruce Lee, Like Water, sounds awesome.
Sport did Bruce Lee play?
He didn't. It's 30 for 30. They don't just follow sports. I guess you could say it was ESPN.
I mean,
it's martial arts.
He's an actor.
Yeah, it's still martial arts. It was legit martial arts.
Okay, but I could put Bruce Lee in a front face lock, take him down in 3 minutes.
I don't think you could. I think Bruce Lee would kick your butt.
He's 135 pounds.
He would kick your butt. You've obviously never seen the Bruce Lee demonstrations that were not for
it's
television. Bruce Lee would destroy you.
They have weight glasses for a reason. There's no reason anybody with an amateur wrestling background would take down Bruce Lee in a heartbeat.
Not even close.
He would murder you under 5 seconds. You wouldn't even know you died.
He literally, JT, have you ever seen his one-inch punch demonstrations? It's incredible.
I don't.
Do you even know who Bruce Lee is?
Anybody knows about having small inches? It's me, but no.
Go on YouTube. Watch his one-inch punch videos. They're insane. He literally takes his fist, puts his hand out like this right here into a guy's chest, and snaps his hand forward and knocks a guy like 20 feet backwards. It's insane. It's ridiculous. You got to watch it. It's special.
You guys want to come over and just watch some Bruce Lee videos and hang out?
I kind of do it now. I kind of do it now, guys.
You guys just want
to come over to Mountain Dew with some pizza? I just think that's a bunch of Hollywood. I just think it's kind of full of it. I don't buy it.
No, he was the real deal.
You know Bruce Lee had his own dojo?
Yeah, he was the real deal, man.
He was not a Hollywood star first.
That's fine. I just don't think it's legit that Kung Fu.
He would kick your butt. Actually,
no, I'd beat him because he's dead. So I have a distinct advantage over Bruce Lee, considering he's been dead for a long time.
I think he could come back from the dead and kick your butt, if I'm being 100% honest. I'm just saying. He's like water. Be like water.
JT, do you think you could beat up
Chuck
Norris?
There was what was
like right now?
Hey, Chuck Norris is like 80. Yeah.
I think you could too.
I don't think you could.
I think JT could take Chuck Norris right now.
Chuck Norris today?
Yeah.
I don't think Carlos would let you do it.
He's literally 80. Okay. He's got an advantage because I wouldn't want to do anything to Chuck Norris because he's an old guy.
You just told me that Michael Jordan could not be taken by a bunch of 20-year-olds. So age? No. You don't get to pull that coin.
Physical combat. Okay.
Yeah.
How am I going to get... I wouldn't want to hurt Chuck Norris. For one thing, he's an old man. He's old. Oh, he's dainty. Goodness. He's like a feather. He's like 160 pounds. Check.
I don't know. I think TV JT actor. Could take him. I think JT. I mean, you just got to get him on the ground.
Ground and pound.
Break
ground
his hip.
Pound.
Knock him over. Ground break his hip. He's dead. Goes to the.
There you go.
You break his hip. He goes to
steel chair.
Yeah. Break. Send him to the hospital. He's gonna get the flu and die. He's 80.
I'd give him a stone cold stunner. He wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. But Bruce Lee, you're out of your. You don't even know. You don't understand Bruce Lee if you think that you could beat Bruce Lee up when Bruce Lee was in his.
I'm just Bruce Lee's like what 130 pounds max.
Dude, he would destroy right? you.
Bruce Lee would destroy kick your butt.
You don't understand Bruce Lee, man. You don't understand. You just don't understand.
Whatever, Bruce Lee. Whatever. Okay.
I'm telling you, Bruce Lee.
Cool. Well, then worst case scenario, I got beat up by Bruce Lee, which is still a pretty cool story to tell. So.
Okay.
Win-win.
Oh, okay. Hey, did you guys see Chipper Jones' comments about Kenny Lofton?
Yes. It validated everything I've ever thought about Kenny Lofton.
Yeah, he said Kenny Lofton. Apparently, in a podcast interview, he said that Kenny Lofton was never on the field unless he was 100%, and that made him not fit in from day one in Atlanta. And I mean, that's pretty much 100% what I always thought about Kenny Lofton, too. Although I did kind of like Kenny Lofton in Atlanta. Don't get me wrong. I never really hated him. But he obviously looked like he
my
never
dad
fit.
Hated him.
I mean,
like, with a passion because of what Chipper kind of implied. My dad just thought that about him. So, thought he was lazy.
I remember seeing the ticker. It was a bottom line ticker saying the Braves had traded David Justice to the Indians. And I remember just being like floored. Like, what? Like, David Justice? You don't trade David Justice? Like, what is this? And so I always kind of I didn't like Kenny Lofton just because he was the other part of that trade. So I was, and I think Mike Timlin was the other guy we got in that trade. I might be wrong about that, but I think it was Mike Timlin. But I always held that against him. Like, I'd never embrace Kenny Lofton just because David Justice was such a... Why are you staring at me so hard?
Yeah.
Kenny's like digging into the
game. Oh, you were talking about me. I was looking at a picture.
Yeah, I was wondering why you're looking at me so hard. No, because, you know, as a kid growing up, like, David Justice was the coolest dude on the Braves, like, with the exception of Dion. But, like, David Justice was awesome, man. Like, everybody loved David Justice. Yeah. And so I never really embraced him often.
After he won the World Series, they did.
I was too young to know about, you know, his comments about the crowd. And that was like, that whole controversy lasted about a day because, you know, he hit the home run to win game six. So it was all forgotten.
Yep.
But
yep.
I just remember thinking like, oh, why did we just trade Dave Justice? Like, what are we doing? So I never really bought into Kenny Lofton.
Never really bought into Kenny Lofton. What about Kenny Loggins? Did you ever buy into him?
Hell yeah, man. Danger Zone's awesome. I'm all, underrated. I'm all right. The soundtrack to Caddyshack.
Kenny Loggins song, Josh, that is not Danger Zone.
I have no idea, but I will tell you this.
It's Footloose.
Wait, what?
I don't know anything about Kenny Loggins.
Footloose.
Really?
Yeah.
It probably is. All the Pretty Ponies is pretty good.
Or you go, what is it? Loggins and, when it was Loggins and Messina. Danny song.
Good song.
So there you go.
Playing with the Boys.
I don't know.
Not a good title. Good song, though. Not a good title, but a good song.
Are we done here?
Even though we ain't got money, I'm still in love with you, honey. There you go. It's Loggins and Messina right there.
Josh, you're gonna have to pull out the Spotify and do some Kenny Loggins if you are not familiar enough with Kenny Loggins.
I think I am. I just don't know. Like, I probably know all the songs. I just didn't know it was him or something.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Oh yeah, I love that song.
Danger Zone.
I love that song.
Come on,
what'd
man.
You say, Josh?
I love that song.
You love that song? Yeah. Well. Kenny Loggins, you need a leather bomber jacket if you're gonna, and a little bit of a mullet.
If you had a movie worth a damn in the '80s, Kenny Loggins was on your soundtrack.
That's true.
Absolutely,
that's very true. Was he on Roadhouse? I'm trying to think.
I think he was on Roadhouse. Like, he definitely did.
Seems like the perfect movie for him.
Well, he did. He did Footloose, Caddyshack, and Top Gun.
Top Gun, yeah.
The top three movies of the 80s right there.
Yep. King of movie soundtracks. I was trying to see if there was like an actual list of movie soundtracks that he had done. Let's see. God, I forgot he did a whole thing with Michael McDonald too. Yeah.
He did? I keep forgetting. Not in love anymore.
He also did Caddyshack too, USA for Ooh. Africa. We are the world.
We are the world.
I forgot I'm All Right was the Caddyshack song.
Yeah.
I'm All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's.
Rat nobody worry about me.
I like Kenny Loggins. All right, I'm going to go and listen to Kenny Loggins now. See you guys later.
Okay. We got more episode coming up with Josh and JT as they sit down and talk with someone from around the world. Who knows? Stay tuned.
Someone from around the world.
By the way, if Kenny Lofton was as good as he was at stealing bases, wait, no. Never mind.
What?
Never mind.
Kenny Lofton played on the 1988 Arizona men's basketball Final Four team. So there you go.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah. Good college basketball player. Yeah.
If he could steal bases like he could steal my tweets, maybe he'd be in the Hall of Fame. I'm out.
Oh, wow.
Yo, Knockomination, it's your boy Josh here. Hey, this next podcast is brought to you exclusively by Knockahoma Nation patrons. Without you guys, this kind of stuff wouldn't be possible. We'd be nothing. We'd be on MySpace, probably. We wouldn't have any friends. We'd have no following. And we certainly wouldn't have a podcast. Please enjoy this next podcast. I've been wanting to hang out with this guy for the last 3 years. This guy was my neighbor in 2014 in Rome, Georgia, on Widgeon Way. We lived in these crappy duplexes in West Rome, while this guy was my neighbor playing for the Rome Braves. I was a single guy living in a crappy duplex bachelor pad, and this guy and three of his teammates were my next door neighbors, and I watched him dominate at the Rome Braves and get the call up to the big leagues the very next year. It was kind of cool because within a year he goes from low A to the Atlanta Braves on live TV. I remember watching his major league debut. He had just been called up, and he's in the bullpen, and we weren't sure if he was going to be used or not. And then, lo and behold, bases loaded. This guy has just been called up. He was just in low A just the year before, and they put his butt in to face Ryan Howard, bases loaded, on live TV. And I was like, oh, Lord Almighty. Lord Jesus, please be with my buddy Matt Marksberry right now, because holy shit. So here's me and Matt Marksberry, former Atlanta Brave, Twitter legend, great American, talking about, well, a little bit of everything. Marksberry, welcome to the Knockomination Podcast Show.
Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the Brotherhood. It's a big deal, man.
Yeah, no, man. I'm just waiting for all these Cardinal fans to hear this stuff, dude. Yeah, they follow you, dude.
Yeah, they're the worst. It's so much fun to troll them. It's
love when you post Nick Markakis stats on there and then just like troll everybody with it. I honestly like using everything. It's just the funniest thing. And then you got all the people, you guys don't know batting average doesn't mean anything. ERA doesn't mean anything. It's like, guys, how do you not know he's trolling you right now? Come on now.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. It started like last fall when the Braves were in the postseason, and I responded to, it was some Cardinals blogger, and he was trying to throw shade at the Braves, and I responded with Jack Flaherty only won 11 games last year. Okay.
That's what it was. And like, he says, wins not a viable stat. You can't count wins. It's not a viable stat.
Yeah.
I'm in my head. I'm like, bro, that gets you paid.
and whoever that was, like, I guess he had a lot of followers. And then he like quoted me, like he tried to own me, you know? And then like, for a whole day, I think I trolled like the entire state of Missouri. It was fantastic.
Oh man.
But anyways,
granted, on their part, man, there's nothing out there, so they probably had all the time in the world to respond back. So.
Oh yeah, good point. Have you been out there? There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do in Missouri.
Oh man, they have pretty decent food out there, but other than that, I mean, they got some decent beer scenes too. But
yeah, I guess they would. Anheuser-Busch is out there and everything.
Yeah, but. But, you know, I mean, if you're a very big fan of a watered down beer, then go for it.
Right, right. If that's your thing. If you like shitty beer and shitty rappers like Nelly, St. Louis is the place for you.
Yeah, dude.
So what you been up to, man? You're from Ohio. Are you in Ohio or are you in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm in Cincinnati right now.
Right on. That's cool.
I'm working. I'm working and still playing, just but grinding.
Yeah.
Lifting, working, getting ready for season. They think that we're going to, I'm playing the American Association this year, which is like an indie ball.
Uh-huh.
And I'm playing in Iowa, Sioux City, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently our season's going to start in July, but I mean, it's all tentative. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if this stuff starts, you know, they're going to implement all these policies and stuff, and there's going to be nobody at the games. And I don't, indie ball can't survive without no fans. Like MLB can because they got the TV deals.
Right.
And everything. Be played on TV, so it really don't matter to them. But like, ain't no TV deals for fucking Sioux City. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you're gonna show a picture of the Field of Dreams looking fields, and then they're gonna be like, "All right, well, yeah, it's this." And you're gonna,
it's crazy, isn't it? Is it crazy? Where you? What's Ohio like, man? Is y'all's governor Republican or Democrat? Because that actually depends right now.
But he's a rhino, dude.
Okay.
He's a rhino.
So your governor's a Republican, which means like you're semi normal right now. Like it's, you can kind of go places. My governor is a Democrat, so I can't go anywhere.
Ohio is like, this guy showed his true colors, DeWine. I mean, dude, he forced the country to lock down. I mean, forced the counties and all the state in the part of the states to lock down.
Right.
And they just started opening stuff out small again.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still sending their Gestapo to go check out the food industry places to make sure they're all following the laws and stuff. And thank God there's a bunch of DAs in Ohio that say they're not going to prosecute anybody for breaking the government's orders.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a ruling, I think it was yesterday, that closing gyms was unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court of Ohio ruled that you can't close down gyms anymore.
Good for them.
And they overruled the
government. Good for them, man.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So stuff's opening up. I mean,
my gosh.
they were trying to limit the health department lady, the health director's power. She was like, she's the one making most of these rules.
Yeah.
She has, like, apparently in our weird government in Ohio, the health director has just as much power as the governor, apparently.
Jeez.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, come on, guys. And
I live in Boone. I live in Boone. And so Boone's a small town, a little college town in North Carolina. It's kind of like a mini Colorado in regards to like scenery and culture.
You got a lot of dispensaries out in Boone?
oh, you know it. Well, it's like a little blue dot. I mean, well, North Carolina is kind of a blue state anyways. For the most part, we do have a lot of Republican like representatives, but Boone is a little blue dot. And what's just weird to me, man, is like nobody has questioned any. I mean, I know so many people who own restaurants and a couple of retail stores, and they're not questioning anything, and they're bleeding. I mean, they're
that's scary.
It's weird. They're not quite. No one has. I remember the day.
I think that's the scariest part of this.
Yeah, no one's questioning anything.
No, but
we have one case. Have one case of COVID in Watauga County. Literally, just one case, and still restaurants are no dining rooms, and no one is questioning anything that I know of.
That's what the biggest part is, that the people are just taking it on the chin, and they're just like, oh yeah, well, I mean, they know what's best. In what world do you think the government knows what's best for you and actually cares what's best for you? It doesn't.
Weird.
And people go out there and they think that the government always has their best interests. And that's just scary to that you would believe that. Because it doesn't. They don't. Right. If they had your best interests at heart, they wouldn't tax the shit out of you.
Right. And isn't it funny that all the Democrats that I know, 4 years ago, they wouldn't shut up about how Trump's going to be a dictator. I mean, they were sharing articles. They were tweeting about these things. I mean, they wouldn't shut up. 4 years ago, they were all, Trump is going to be a dictator.
But they begged for it.
Yeah. And now.
But now they're begging for a totalitarian. It's so they're begging weird. To be shut down. They're begging for someone to tell them to stay at home. They're begging for
it. Bizarre.
Which crazy to me is like my favorite thing I hear some left-leaning people say, or even some like never Trumper Republicans, is that, well, we need to, sometimes they're like, oh man, we need to take the guns away, blah, blah. I was like, well, Trump's a dictator. And it's like, how can you have those two statements be factually together? As in, you think Trump's a dictator, but you want to get rid of your Second Amendment right. What? So you think the guy in the office right now is a dictator, but you also want him to take away your gun. It's like that logical process is like some people just don't think. They're just so blinded by hatred. And man, I'm not going to lie. I voted for Obama the first time, and then I didn't like what I got. So I voted for him the second time. But guess what? Every time he did something, I was like, I hoped he would succeed. I hope Obama did well. I never rooted for that man to fail. I never rooted for him to do bad. I he was my president. I never said he wasn't my president. Ever since he got elected, that's my president. And boom, I respect the office, no matter who's in it. But now it's just like everything's so drawn and politically like motivated.
It's ugly.
You
know? It's hateful.
It's scary. It's costing lives. Something like the healthcare is politically motivated. Now even the COVID funding is politically motivated. Shutting cities down is motivated. Everything's motivated by. That's why look at all these red states, Republican states that are open, and they're getting their economy back, while these blue economies are just hitting the tanker. Yeah. It's like, guys, let's figure something out. We can't let. If for one point, the greater good's got to prevail. I mean, literally something that has a 98% and up like survival rate, we're literally going to put millions and millions of unemployment, probably going to have a worse recession than the Great Depression is what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's funny is they'll say, like, I'll actually see CNN reporters and Democrat like governors and elected officials say that Trump has cost us 90,000 lives with COVID. They'll blame it all on Trump. And then in the very next breath, they'll say, and the worst economy since the Great Depression. And I'm like, you idiots won't let him open stuff up. And you can't say that. You can't say both of those things together with a straight face, but they do.
So don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty positive. Like I'm like 98% sure that since all the states at one point declared a state of emergency, that gives the federal government and especially the executive branch, when all 50 states ask for federal funding because they're in a state of national emergency,
mm-hmm.
the executive branch has almost unlimited power. So at this whole time, And some of the stuff about this executive order, I think you got to look it up. It's something called like the State of Emergency Act or something like that. It was passed in the 70s, though. And it's when all 50 states say, hey, we need the government help.
Right.
That ends up giving the executive branch like almost unlimited power. Like Trump right now can shut off the internet. He can dictate the news. He can do whatever he wants. He can pass any executive order without legislation. He can bypass Congress. He can do all this stuff right now, but guess what? He hasn't done it. He literally can be a dictator right now, but he hasn't done it. And
that's a good point.
That's the thing like, that makes me go like, guys, like he might not be, because he's not a good person. Don't get me wrong. Outside of the all, I mean, not like he's probably just a typical really rich guy that I'm going to do what I want. I'm rich.
Sure. He's a billionaire, probably a billionaire dick. I don't know.
This guy sucks.
Right. It's crazy. And it's crazy how someone's opinion on Trump totally influences their view of a virus. Right. So, I mean, if you talk to somebody who hates Trump, they think that this virus is like the worst thing ever and that people should stay locked down and all that stuff. You know, it all depends on what you think about. You can't have a sensible conversation with anybody right now.
Because everybody just gets too emotional, man.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is the same people that want to stay inside all the time are the same people that are endangering other people by making they're the same people that get DoorDash, Instacart, and all. They make other people go out into this deadly ass virus that they think's the worst thing ever. They make other people go do their shit for them because they're too afraid to do it themselves.
That's
actually
a good
they're too
point.
Selfish to do it themselves. And it makes me laugh. It's like you're literally making that DoorDash guy, if this is so bad, you're making that DoorDash guy go out there and rough it for your like white liberal ass. Like, come on now. Like, look at that, dude. It's just like you're gonna make now that guy shopping in the grocery store right now for you. Oh man, he's endangering his life now too. Why? Because you can't go get your own milk. Like, stop. Like, and then I just don't like when people are, I'm holier than thou, or these self-righteous people. Yeah. It's like, dude, stop it. You're not self-righteous. You're actually selfish because you're making other people do your shit for you.
Well, now, like, speaking of shaming, now we're starting to see mask shaming. It's like a thing now, man. If you don't have a mask on, you are the worst, and you want people to die.
I work at a grocery store right now until like season starts up, and we have to wear a mask. I work at Kroger. Mm-hmm. We have to wear a mask, but
yeah,
half the shoppers don't wear a mask.
No,
and it's just funny to me. The other day it was kind of funny. I was wearing my mask and I had my gloves on. I was picking vegetables for somebody, this lady comes up to me and she goes, are you done picking yet? And I'm like, no, I got this in there. She goes, well, she starts laughing. She goes, huh, I guess we're not doing that 6 feet thing, huh? And I said, I guess not. I'm still picking. And she goes, no, I'm serious. Get 6 feet away from me right now.
Oh, my God.
And I said, and I finally got mad. I looked at her. I said, lady, you're not even wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. Like, lady, if you're so concerned about it, you came in here with no mask on. I want to speak to your manager. The manager came out, and the manager goes, well, he's right. You should probably be wearing a mask. Like, I was just like, I'm sorry, lady. What are you going to do? Like,
I saw the funniest thing.
A cucumber?
I saw the funniest thing last week, and I was driving down to Georgia because I'm an American. Yeah. I was driving down to Georgia, and I stopped in Knoxville to my little coffee shop I always stop at en route to Georgia. It's called Remedy Coffee Shop. It's in downtown Knoxville. I stop in there. It's these little vegan hipsters that run it. I would never hang out with these people, but they make the best damn coffee. Well, I order my coffee, and I saw the funniest thing, man. Outside, as I'm ordering my coffee, there's like a little patio, and there's like a little young looking kind of hipster looking couple. They're there together, and they had ordered a coffee before me, and they. And as I look out, and they had masks on, and they sit down, they pull their masks down, from their face to down around their necks. And, the dude gets out a pack of American Spirit cigarettes, and they begin to smoke.
Dude, rip them, dude.
Hey. And I couldn't stop laughing.
the funny thing is, dude, the joke's on us because France is doing studies on nicotine right now, killing the virus.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
Dude, go look it up. France is using nicotine patches on COVID patients.
Dude.
Apparently nicotine can kill the virus. Like, holy shit. I was like, damn, what? I need put a freaking chaw, dude. Kill that shit.
I've got some very weird, super strange, like conspiracy theory beliefs on like tobacco. Do you want to hear them?
Oh, please do.
So I got down this weird YouTube rabbit hole like 2 years ago. Okay. I think it was Ken Hendricks. I'm going to blame him. Ken sent me this video thinking that I would just watch this one video. And well, I became obsessed with this guy, and I watched like a bunch of videos by this guy. I order his book. There's this professor. He's an oral pathologist from the University of Louisville named Andrew Rodu. I think that's his name, Rodu. Well, he's written a book about how basically the gist of it is smokeless tobacco is totally harmless, basically. Like like chewing tobacco and dip is like virtually harmless, about as harmful for you as like maybe one Dorito or something. Like, and it sounds crazy, it sounds nuts, but this guy's a real oral pathologist. He's like done years of studies, and he reports that there's like no carcinogens at all in like smokeless tobacco. And now
because it's not burning,
right, his thing is cigarettes are terrible for you. You should not smoke ever. They're terrible for you because anytime once you burn it, that's when the bad stuff happens. And then the filter is bad for you too. So he says that a lot of smokers will discover this guy and read his book, and people will stop smoking. And anyway, so I went on this like, this tobacco kick. This was like last year. I started like buying tobacco and I started chewing.
And my wife got so pissed. She got so mad at me. And so then I kind of stopped. I might buy a pouch when I go to Georgia and go fishing, but she doesn't know about that. But anyways, yeah. So
that makes sense, though, man.
And then he talks about nicotine. So he was on this this morning show or something, and he's like presenting his case about smokeless tobacco, and then the guy's immediate response to him, as probably many responses to him, are, well, what about nicotine? Isn't nicotine terrible for you? He's like, no. He said nicotine is basically just as bad for you as caffeine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just studies have shown it's not going to kill you. So that's interesting that you said that there's studies in France that are trying to use nicotine to combat COVID. Cause I don't think, again, I'm just a replacement level podcaster, but according to this guy, who's an oral pathologist, nicotine is not the bad guy in cigarettes. It's the burning and the filters. So there you go. I don't know.
I can almost not say attest to that, but in my years of playing baseball, I've never seen or heard of someone I know that, because I almost all my baseball player buddies I know dip. Uh-huh. None of them have ever had leukoplakia. None of them have ever had cancer or anything like that. We get in spring training, you get when you get your physical exam, they do a damn black light in your mouth to check for cancer. But right. I've never seen one, and baseball players dip every day.
Like, yeah. Well, then there's Tony Gwynn. So if you present this to Twitter, right. So people would freak out and
they would eat you.
Oh yeah, I would never say this on Twitter. There's Tony Gwynn. Well,
but that would be like considered anecdotal evidence, wouldn't it? But one person.
Exactly. So this Dr. Rodu guy in an interview, somebody asked him about Tony Gwynn. They're like, "What about Tony Gwynn?" Right? I mean, we all think Tony Gwynn, died at the hands of dip. According to this guy, again, y'all, I'm just a replacement level podcaster. Don't kill me. According to this doctor at the University of Louisville, who is an oral pathologist, he said that the specific type of cancer that Tony Gwynn died from, if he in fact died from smokeless tobacco, he is the only person ever to die of smokeless tobacco with that type of cancer. That's what he said. And he said that last year, for the first time in maybe 20 or 30 years, last year, the American Cancer Society took off smokeless tobacco from their website, as they have a list of harmful things that cause cancer, and smokeless tobacco was finally taken off after guys like Rodu lobbied for it to be taken off. And he said that places like France and Norway and Sweden, I think, this is all kind of like public knowledge now. People kind of know about this, but obviously in America, it's very, very crazy to talk about. People probably think I'm crazy for saying these things.
My thing is, if you would think if the tobacco lobby got a hold of that, they would freaking run that.
Right.
Thing. You know what I mean? The tobacco lobby would be like, hey, it's not harmful. It's not harmful. But I mean, you also had doctors in the 40s and 50s that told you smoking was good.
True. Yeah.
But I mean, let's say, like, studies change, like, go through. So, like, what's good one time is now bad now. Like, stuff that was good in the 40s now probably causes cancer. Yeah. But, like, you come back to it, the explosion of cancer is bigger now than it was in the 40s. So it's like, okay, let's think about this. And one of the things that I started doing is I started looking up some stuff, too. I went down a rabbit hole, and apparently sunscreen can cause skin cancer, because all that poison and, like, the alcohols and all the chemicals they put in sunscreen can cause poison. And I've seen articles from doctors that say that, like, yeah, I never use. They're like, you know, and they're freaking dermatologists, and they're saying, I don't use sunscreen because your skin's your biggest organ, and it absorbs everything you put on it, and then you put on those sunscreens laced with alcohol and colors and dyes and all that shit.
Wow.
They're thinking that's what causes it more than anything.
It's fascinating.
But, I mean, I haven't when I was in Australia, I never wore. I mean, of course, I'd never try to stay out in the sun all day. But
that's bullshit, Matt. That's bullshit. I'm going to call you out, because I remember being at work at my desk and seeing pictures of you at the beach all the time. When you were in Australia, you were always at the beach. You're always.
Yeah, I never wore. I mean, every now and then I wore the zinc oxide because I thought it was funny, because it freaking made me look like a ghost. You ever seen that zinc oxide?
No, what are you talking about?
That doesn't soak in your skin.
It's like what it's like those in those 80s movies where those lifeguards put the white sunscreen on their nose and
Come
off. That's what zinc oxide is.
Oh.
It's like it doesn't soak into your skin. So you walk around like someone like a whale jizzed on you and you're like, "Oh man, I look terrible."
Oh god, that's great. So, do you think this is going to end this craziness? Are we going to get I don't know if it's going to end, man. I don't know. I think that
But I'll tell you my theory.
Tell me, please, because I might have the same thing. I don't know.
They're going to, I think this was a test.
Oh, yeah.
They were seeing how much the population will
which is
take.
A lot.
They're seeing how much
we yeah.
give. Yes, they're seeing how much we will give. They're seeing how much that we will be sheep and we'll just bow down to whatever they say. I guarantee you in about three, four months, right at the mid mark of summer or very end of summer, a second wave is going to come and they're going to shut everything down again. And this time it's going to be longer and this time it's going to be more strenuous. It's going to be like, all right, no bars, no physical activity, everybody in their house. If you're outside your house, we're having door to door checks.
Have you seen
the thing that it's like, it's scary is you've seen what they're doing in like California and like some of these other very liberal states. The mayors and the governors are saying, hey, if you see somebody breaking our stay-at-home orders, please snitch on them and we'll give you a reward.
Unreal.
Where in history have you seen leaders tell other people to snitch on their neighbors where they're hiding, where they're going? I'll give you a hint. Somewhere in 1930s, the 40s, in a place called Germany.
Exactly.
This is where you saw stuff
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
Snitch on your neighbors. Tell us where they are. Tell us where they're hiding. We'll give you a reward. Same thing happened in Russia. Soviets did the same thing. Tell us where they are. Show us where these people are doing. Show us anybody that's not following a government order. Show us. Tell us. We'll give you a reward. We'll give you an extra ration stamp. Like, dude. Like, and people are like, yeah, I'll get. I think it was in San Francisco. They were giving out like $5 reward cards for public transportation that they
Are
can't
you
even use.
Kidding me? This is.
Oh, I'm serious. Like, they're. I think one governor. I think it was a mayor. I'm pretty sure it was the L.A. mayor. Even said the old saying is, "Stitches get snitches, but we give rewards."
Oh
like,
my
what
god!
The freak?
If you told me, Matt, like back in January or beginning of February, when let's say like we're watching the Super Bowl together in February and you're like, hey, Josh, in 4 months, these things are going to happen. And this mayor here is going to say this thing. And this is going to happen in 4 months. I would be like, dude, you're fucking crazy. There's no way that's going to happen in America.
Whiskey bottle. I've been like, bro, you had way too many shots, dude. You need to chill out. Dude, take a relax, dude. Go get Hank and chill, dude. Way too much. That's what I would have said. But then I would have been the guy that come to your house after all this happened down. I'd break lockdown and be like, bro, I cannot believe.
Right. Oh, it's crazy. I don't know what's going to happen, man.
About is like cops when at the beginning of this when people were still like, okay, well, I'm gonna do what they say, until people started actually waking up, is like when the best part is dudes were talking about social distancing, and the only reason they're not having big crowded places or anything is the social distance, right? But you got a guy running on the beach by himself, no one near him, and a cop runs him down to arrest him because he's outside his house. Like, first off, that guy's social distancing with the best of them. He's on a beach by himself. And then number two, you're a police officer and you're breaking the law by freaking coming up within 6 feet of him.
I know a girl, there's a girl here in Boone back in mid-March. This stuff had just started to lock. It was during the lockdown. And she was arrested for camping. the Watauga Democrat, that's our local paper, had an article about this. She was arrested for camping in a primitive campsite on the backside of Grandfather Mountain. This is probably 7-8 miles from me. Well, she's arrested for camping. She's not around anybody. Like, it was solo. It was just, I think she was in her mid-20s. She was an App State grad, and she was solo camping. I didn't see a picture, or I don't know her name, but I just imagine just a local boonie probably camping in her marmot tent maybe, and she's arrested. Well, I know a buddy of mine's a lawyer in town, and he's taking up the case pro bono, and they're going to try to sue the pants off of whoever, you know, is responsible for that. So I hope she makes a lot of money from this, man. I hope she does. What a weird, yeah.
I know a bunch of people in Ohio, and they're suing the shit out of the government right now just because it's unconstitutional shutdown. If you shut down the economy, you're literally killing people's jobs. And then, I don't know, man. I really think there's going to be more cause of death from the economic crisis.
Yeah, I think so too.
From the virus, I think. And even the UN has come out and said, listen, like, we usually have about a couple hundred million or like 100 million people that usually on the brink of starvation in these third world countries. Well, after this economic shutdown, it's like we have literally over 250 million people on the brink and the very super high risk of starvation. That's not, hey, they need food. Starvation is death. Like, you die. Right. 250 million people have the ability to die from starvation because they get aid because we shut down the food line.
Here's another weird thing that I
don't know, man. I think
another weird thing I thought about today. My sister-in-law works at Emory in the cancer department, and as of now, and this might change tomorrow. This might change in 2 weeks. Lord, I hope not. But as of now, her job's fine. She's doing okay. She has been told that they're not receiving their bonuses this year. Well, WellStar, which is a healthcare conglomerate, I think, and I don't know if it's just in Georgia, but it's somewhere, it's at least in Georgia. They just laid off, I think, a couple of thousand people this past week. And Chrissy, that's my sister-in-law, her sister just got laid off, who is a nurse. She's a nurse. And my thing is, like, if this is I wouldn't even tweet this because I don't feel like getting shamed for 3 days, but if this is such a health pandemic, right? Why are nurses being laid off? Why are they being furloughed at the very least? Why are these hospitals like going out of business? If this is a health pandemic, then the right.
Making
if this
TikToks.
Is a health pandemic, then the Chrissies of the world, who she works, she does mammograms and stuff like that. The Chrissies of the world would be all stay, and they would be doing other stuff. They would be helping out here and there, because the hospitals would be full. There'd be patients everywhere with COVID if this was like an actual – I'm not saying it's fake. If I say that on Facebook or Twitter, people are like, oh, you think it's fake. I'm not calling it fake. It's real. I think that – yeah, but it's
– it's real, but
– no. And then yesterday, like, there was an article about the Tyson chicken plant off the mountain from us down in Wilkesboro. Well, yeah. So in the article –
thank you. Yes.
Right. So – right. So I've got these dumbass Democrat friends who are sharing this article all day yesterday, and they're responding to each other, and they're saying, oh, my God, this is crazy. This is scary. This is so scary. And people actually think this isn't real. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, did you guys read the article? Like, in the actual article that you are sharing, it says that most of the people that were tested positive did not have symptoms and would not have been identified otherwise. And like, nobody will respond to me. They're just like, it's like talking to a tree. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they see the headline. And a lot of these news networks now are just doing clickbait get you to read, because they don't want you to read the article. Like, they just want you to go, oh, I'm going to share this. Because it says Trump said this. And they're like, oh, share. And it's like, well, actually, he didn't say what.
Right.
If you read the article, he didn't say that. But people don't, they just, they want to sensationalize, do other things. But funny thing you brought that up is there's another like little conspiracy theory too, is that the reason they're wanting to shut down these food supply or like Tyson all that stuff, and then get like the government to do the War Powers Act, whatever it is, where they have to make all the stuff, is because now you have the government has all control of supply, as in water, because they control the water, they control your land. Because you have to pay taxes on your land and everything. So they control the land. But the one thing they don't have control right now is our food supply, because our food supply isn't government run. Once they have all three of those, all three means of production, water, land, and food, all three means of production, bro, there ain't nothing you can do. What can you do? The government's the one telling you what to do now. Now you have to be like, all right, man, now I got to do what the government says because they're the ones giving me my ration.
Or I'll tell you what. Giving me my food. That's scary. I'll tell you what. For the past 8 to 10 years, I have honestly, I've rolled my eyes at guys like Hannity and like Glenn Beck and all those guys who have said, I did.
I think they were radical.
I did. Yeah.
I was like, dude,
I did. And
I did too.
Sure.
I think they,
but
they're not, but they're telling the truth about Trump. Like now, like,
right.
It's crazy. They lied about Obama.
All the stuff that they would say
this is weird.
About how the left wants to take power and they want to do this and this and this. I just thought they were kind of crazy, but by God, like they were right, man. They were these left governors when they are, you know, like in Michigan, or maybe it was Minnesota. There was a barber that like an old guy, he's like 73 years old, an old guy. He refused to shut down. The governor told the local law enforcement to arrest him. And they're like, we're not doing that. We're not going to arrest this guy for cutting hair. And then they revoke his license and they slap him with a fine and all this stuff. And like that stuff, that's the kind of stuff that like the Hannitys and like the Glenn Becks of the world were kind of talking about the last like 8 years. And again, like I would just roll my eyes at him. I voted for Obama twice, both times. But now I'm like, they were fucking right. These people are terrible. Absolutely terrible. This is not about Biden and Trump. It's about like these people want to put us in socialism. I'm totally convinced.
So you know what's funny is that is you had all these people. So I think it was about like a month ago when Georgia was closed down and all that stuff, and then governors wanted to close down their state, and Trump kept saying stuff like. Saying I'm gonna make these guys, I'm gonna force them to open up, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and then like,
yep.
All these liberals were like, state rights, states rights, states rights. You know, the states, states are autonomous. They have their own rights. They can do whatever they want. But once Georgia started opening, they're like, well, what is he doing? What is he doing? Why are they doing that? Why is the government letting them? Why is the government letting them open up?
Exactly,
and
sitting,
and I'm over here yelling, states rights, states rights, states rights. It's funny how these super liberal, non-constitutional people love the Constitution when it's on their side, but when that same clause tells them that, hey, actually, they can do whatever they want. Like, and pretty much, states rights.
I know. It's crazy, man.
The stuff in Michigan's crazy, dude. The Michigan lady, literally,
you can't buy
seeds at a damn grocery store. Once they start telling you what's essential, dude, that ain't good.
No.
You can't buy soda because, you know, honestly.
Wait, you can't buy, did you say seeds? You can't buy seeds?
Yeah, at Walmart, they closed off, like, the seed section, like, which I think is, like, if anything, what? That's essential to grow your damn food.
I don't understand. Yeah. That's weird, man.
I swear, dude. That's fucking weird.
I believe
you. Anything that the government in Michigan deemed unessential, they blocked off for non-purchase.
Oh my
gosh. Car seats. Baby car seats you couldn't buy.
What?
It's like, dude, like, what do you, you can't do that. Like, but they did it. And then she said, if you protest with a weapon, like brandishing. Now, I read up on the laws in Michigan, and the laws of Michigan, say that it's an open carry state, so you can literally carry a weapon wherever you want. And now people will say, what about the brandishing law? I mean, brandishing your weapon to intimidate or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Now the brandishing law, I looked it up in Michigan, has never been successfully defined, meaning there is no case ever or no pending case ever of brandishing in Michigan, meaning there's no precedent, so they can't just say you're breaking.
They're
the
full of shit. They're full of shit.
Precedent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like when the governor says if you protest with a weapon, you're getting arrested. It's like you can't lawfully do that because they're within the laws. It's open carry, and our fucking Constitution says protest. And our fucking nation was founded on a protest.
Right, literally.
Like,
yeah.
You don't like, but I mean, this, but that protest is bad. That I don't, the protest of please open up the government so I can feed my family because people, I don't have a job, is bad. But the stupid ass resist Trump protest that those are fine.
Exactly.
Those are fine, but the other people just open up the government so they can feed their freaking kids and take care of their family because they don't want to collect unemployment because God knows how long they'll actually start giving you that until they take it away and be like, well, the virus.
And then there's always, and then out of, out of 42 states and like thousands upon thousands of protesters, they're going to find that one guy with a rebel flag. And he's waving that flag or whatever, you know, and it's like in Bumblefuck, Tennessee. And then they're going to be like, Trump protesters are white supremacists, you know, and it's like, you guys are you're the worst. You're so dumb.
That's the thing that makes me mad, too. It's like they talk about how these, like everybody, it's like they show pictures of like the guys with guns and they literally say what you said. They're like, these white supremacists are like, all right. Granted, there probably is a couple guys in that group that are pieces of shit. But painting everybody that owns, painting every NRA, basically NRA member, as that is dumb. That's what makes me
every gun-toting like Republican NRA member I know, and I
sign up for the NRA.
Yeah, every NRA guy I know, and I know a lot. These are people that I'm related to that I grew up
talking to one right now.
There you go. Yeah. Well. Everybody I know, for the most, every older gun-toting guy I know is not walking around with an AK-47 in militia garb. They look like Brian Snitker. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, that's what they look like. You know, they're peaceful. They're not harmless at all.
But they feel.
Yeah.
Of course, they take pictures of seven assholes.
Of course.
And then post it and make it seem like everybody that wants to protest with an open carry is a piece of shit. It's like, guys, dude, it's like, oh man, it's like I just see a lot of stuff. I see, like, on social media, I'm pretty like chill back. Like, I say stuff every now and then, like stir the pot, but I'm pretty chill with it. But there's so many people that like that follow me, and I kind of follow back on Twitter. That when they say shit on there, I just want to call them out. But then I go, okay, let's think about this now. You're still playing,
all right?
And you don't want to have like super conservative views on here because if you do, could potentially get fired because six people don't like your view.
Yeah, which is crazy to say, but and it's that's true, right?
Even in the MLB, we had like a media person, and they would say, "Hey, man, I don't know if you should tweet that." And I'd be like, "What?" I said, "I'm voting Republican," or something stupid like that. And they'll be like, "Yeah, I know, but you're gonna make like one millionth of the population pissed off. Like, we can't do that because we'll lose like if we lose $50, we're gonna have to."
Fight. Oh my god. That's crazy, man. Crazy.
But this is funny, but then when you get to a club, when you get into a clubhouse, you're basically at a Republican Party convention. You're basically at CPAC when you're in a fucking clubhouse.
That's what I've heard. Like, yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
It's funny. It's funny. I think I told you before. It's like even the Latino guys and all the other guys, they're freaking conservative. Yeah. And they're awesome people. They're trying to they're trying to leave a country and make a better life for themselves because they want to chase the American dream, because the American dream is the best and purest thing on this earth. And they come, that's why they all come here and they want to play here. And that's why I respect the shit out of them. That's why I don't even get mad when when some guys from different countries test positive for steroids. I'm like, bro, if I was in that situation, I would do the same shit to get out to make my life better. Fuck, I'll cheat the hell. I'll cheat too.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But then you got the cheater. Cheaters like Bregman, who are I'm holier than thou, and they talk shit about the president on Twitter, and then that motherfucker cheated to win the World Series. It's like, no, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, that.
Not only did you win the World Series, but you also are a hypocrite. You're
that whole thing, man. That whole thing was next level, dude, wasn't it? It was like, because I like whether you whatever your view on.
The fact that banned every one of those guys from baseball forever, bro. They banned Pete Rose for baseball. Yeah, he betted. But he betted on win on his team to win. That's what they came out with. But then, guess what? These guys literally cheated, cheated to win the World Series. Another team that tried to do something stupid like that in the World Series was the freaking Black
right,
Sox.
Right. And they were banned. And Joe Jackson's still banned. And Joe Jackson's still banned to this day because of that. Even though he probably shouldn't be, but yeah.
I know. Every guy on that team, everybody on that participated should be banned from baseball. Banned. Freaking banned. They should lose all their pay from that year. Had to give it back. They should actually, you know what? Fuck that. They should take all the money they get and they should freaking put it into a waste management fund. Because, you know, they're banging on their damn trash cans. Put all that money into like a waste management scholarship for underprivileged children or something. Because they fucking stole that money. They stole all that shit. But I guarantee you all these guys are going to get pay raises.
And no one's talking about it because of COVID, because of this whole thing. People will kind of forget about it, I think.
Ooh, is that a conspiracy?
I think people are just going to forget about it because of this whole, COVID debacle and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's been kind of forgotten about. So,
well, now they got the debacle of
the
players rightfully not wanting to take a pay cut. I get it. Like, I mean, play the game.
Yeah.
I fully understand the fans aspect of it, but you also got to look at their, If somebody was to say to you, Josh, say you were working at an office or something like that, say if somebody would go, hey man, you come back to work, but we're gonna cut your pay by like 70%. Is that cool with you? Is that cool with you? Just cut it for 70%? Not forever.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Yeah.
No, you'd be like, you can suck my balls. No, I'm not doing it. Any person with cojones or anything with a self-respect would be like, no, you're not diminishing my value. No.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It sets a precedent. It's a bad look because it sets a precedent for the owners to think, okay, well, we got them to do that. Well, shit, what else can we get them to fight?
Yeah.
You don't want to set that precedent to look weak. You don't want to look weak for them because they're like vultures.
You talk about it way more intelligently than most ball players on Twitter talk about it. Like what you just said makes total sense. I just see a bunch of ball players who are like trying to compare what they do to like a UPS worker or something or like a Amazon worker. I'm like, shut up. Nobody cares. But I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Most baseball players are rich prima donna. But I will say that a lot of them do. I mean, they work hard. People don't realize like stuff they put in, but the time
they do,
it's away from your
family. I watched it with you. You worked your butt off. I remember being, it'd be like December and shit. I remember seeing like Instagram shit. You'd be up at like fucking 5 a.m. doing shit. And I'm like, good Lord, Matt.
It's a grind, but you gotta love it. But also, I mean, I understand the fans aspect when it comes to like, guys, you make millions of freaking dollars to play a baseball game. 100%. Freaking.
Yeah.
Valid point. Very valid point. But you also, I mean, the fact that some of those people are siding with the billionaires who do even far less, it's like, but I don't know. You see how those owners are. Hell, they're cut. Some of those owners are cutting pay for those workers right now. They're to extend for the whole year, they're taking like a pay cut.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple times for sure. Yeah.
I'm just like, dude, these guys have the money to pay for that. Like, they don't want to. They're penny pinching.
Yeah. This sucks, man.
I just think it's as a union, as a players union, and as all that stuff, you cannot let the owners take an inch when it comes to stuff like that because then they're going to start taking a mile. And like, who's to say that they'll ever give out the 35 rounds again for the draft? Because would they limit it to 5 rounds this year?
Oh yeah, something like that. It was weird. Yeah.
Something. And most of these college guys, unless they're gonna sign all these college guys as free agents for $1,000. They basically set the market. This is kind of smart by their part. So think about it this way. This is how I think about it. I don't know if people think about it the same way. You cut the rounds down by 35 rounds. Meaning that your top 10 rounds and probably down to your top 15 or 20 rounds, you can get pretty damn good players. Pretty damn good players, and you'll still have to pay a little bit because I think anything after the 10th round with the new draft rules was $100,000. Can't be over a slotted $100,000, meaning you can't pay them over $100,000 signing bonus.
Right. Now,
take away those rounds, so now you got the juniors that were going, well, I want $270,000 or I'm not signing. Now they can go, Well, what are you going to do? You're going to go back to college? Oh, wait a minute. You might not even have a college season next year. Sure you don't want to take the $1,000 now?
Mm-hmm.
Or they got the round 20 guy. Okay. Hey, man, I know you were looking to get like $70,000, $80,000, because that's what your slot is, but, I mean, there might not be even a college season next year because some campuses aren't even opening.
Ah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
The draft's over.
Yeah.
The draft's over, so you're going to have to take this money or you'll have an option. Like, they're basically saying, like, you don't have an option. Like, you have to take it. And then MLB is going to start falling in love with that because now teams are like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. Because my signing bonus pool is now like, I only spend $5 million instead of like the $30 million I spent.
Mm.
And I could put that elsewhere. To say that they'll never change it back. Like, I'm saying, don't let them, the rich always get richer, Josh. They always get richer.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I don't think about it that way, you know, because I've never played. You have, so you have a different perspective on it than me. That makes sense.
Baseball is a business. So, for me, when I got injured and I went through the coma and stuff, and then they released me before ever letting me play again, I go, okay, let's look at this from the business side. I was a high risk management because number one, that coma, they probably thought I was never going to play again. And number two, my shoulder was still messed up. So it's like, I get from a business standpoint, I understand why they fired me.
Sure.
And I never had harsh feelings because I always treated it like a business. Because once you start getting personal with it, that's when you get mad. And that's when you see a lot of those guys that are, man, I would have been a 10-year big leaguer if this didn't happen and that didn't happen. And,
mm-hmm.
And they just hate life. And I never wanted to be one of them.
And you're not. And like, it's evident because you're like, you're so positive. You're just living your life, man. That's interesting because there's probably a lot of guys who had a bad fortune. Something happened to them and they're still salty. And they're just, like you said, they're just like, this could have happened. I could have done this and this and this.
You ever have any stories of your life until you play indie ball?
I bet. Yeah.
When you play indie ball, you hear all those stories. Man, if I wouldn't have made that peanut butter jelly sandwich that morning and fell down, oh God, I probably would have been a 30-year big leaguer. 30-year big leaguer.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I would have been playing until I'm 70. I mean, I'm obviously that talented, but it's just, I just never panned out.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thanks for being on the podcast, man. I feel like if Glenn Beck and, I don't know, Brian Snitker created a podcast, that's what just happened, I think. Wow. You got to come back on, man. That was awesome.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.